Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable this morning. An old friend returns to the program. Joan has, I realized from our notes that it has been almost a year since you've been here.
It seems like a long time.
Yeah.
And I think I got lost the last time, but I didn't this time.
Excellent. You were last here in May of 2012, and according to my notes, and the fact that you are here almost a year later, it is way too long, but I'm delighted that you're here.
Well, I'm delighted to be here.
Joan, of course, is the owner of Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts. They are right on College Street in South Hadley and a beautiful bookstore, and they do a wonderful job. And you can find out more about them at odysseybks.com, and we'll talk more about that in just a few moments. But before we do that, we have some terrific books to talk about.
Right, and I just want to tell you, we are this fall celebrating our 50th anniversary.
That's so exciting.
It's unbelievable. So stay tuned for that.
Awesome.
I have a really varied selection here today. I'm going to start with a novel that is not out yet, but will be out in a few weeks, and I just think it's terrific. It's called On Sal Mal Lane. It's by Rue Freeman. Grey Wolf published it. I don't know if you've seen the galley yet, but there it is. This is set in Sri Lanka between the years of 1979 and 83, which is right the lead up to the civil war there. And it's a fabulous novel. It's complex. The characters are really well developed. And it revolves around the adults and children of 10 families that live on Sal Mal Lane. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but it's a tree, Sal Mal. And they're really a microcosm for Sri Lanka because some of the families are Sinhalese, some are Tamil, and some are Burghers, which is the mixed European Sri Lankan group. And there are also different religious backgrounds, Buddhists, Muslims, Christians. And additionally, three generations are represented. So over the course of the novel, we see characters being drawn into ethnic prejudices. And at first, it's just kind of, you know, talk, but we see how that develops and with devastating violence as riots break out in Colombo. This is the capital. We really, you know, this is a place I know nothing about, really. So it was a history lesson for me as well. And I think she does a great job of, you know, dropping us into this place that for many of us will be foreign, with lots of different names and lots of different, and the ethnic complexity is very interesting. So I think she's done a great job. She went to Bates College in Maine, so she's and I think she lives now in the United States, but she divides her time between Sri Lanka and the United States. She's this is her second novel, and she also does some political writings, has a terrific website with a blog. So I highly recommend this novel when it comes out in a few weeks.
Rue Freeman's On Sal Mal Lane and published by Grey Wolf Press looks truly remarkable. So we look forward to that.
The second book is a memoir of Mary Robinson, Everybody Matters, My Life-Giving Voice. We hosted her probably about a month ago now. And it's an incredible, inspiring memoir. She's really broken boundaries and overcome obstacles. She was the first female president of Ireland, but even before that, she was, you know, one of four women in her law class. She also took on some very challenging cases in the 70s. Contraception was illegal in Ireland, and so she took that on. She took on some cases around domestic violence. She would later become a senator. And finally, she was elected to the presidency of Ireland, which had been more a figurehead kind of role. But she really changed that, and Ireland was in that process of modernizing. She also married outside the Catholic Church, which, of course, was difficult, particularly at that time. And she would go on later to be the UN Commissioner for Human Rights from 1997 to 2002. And that was a very difficult job. There are a lot of, you know, wars and conflicts going on. And now she heads her own foundation, Climate Justice. And she's also one of the elders, which includes, she's the youngest of the elders. That includes Nelson Mandela and Jimmy Carter and other people in their 80s and 90s that are doing some great work. So we have signed copies of this book, and I really recommend it as, you know, as a very inspirational story about a woman who breaks a lot of boundaries.
And the book is really incredible. I
started, you read it?
Yeah. And well, we were trying to get her on the show, actually, mm-hmm. in 3-4 year event, and that didn't work out. But it's really an incredible woman and an incredible read.
Right.
Very well written.
It is. It is. Now we're going to come back to this country with Res Life, An Indian's Journey Through Reservation Life. It's now out in paperback by David Turr. He's a novelist who's a prize-winning novelist, but this is a book of nonfiction. He comes from the Ojibwa Reservation, Leech Lake, which and most of the book is about the communities of northern Minnesota and Wisconsin. I know so little about contemporary Indians that it was just amazing to read this. It's really a compilation of history, memoir, and journalism. And just a few things to mention, there are roughly 310 Indian reservations in the United States and 564 federally recognized tribes. Indians make up 2.3% of our current population. They number slightly over 2 million, which is really up significantly since 1900, when they were 240,000. Another interesting fact that I learned during the 1778, the Treaty of Fort Pitt, the Delaware group was offered the possibility of becoming the 14th state. Of course, it was one of many broken promises over the decades. So he combines his family history. His mother is a tribal judge, and along with the history of the different acts that were passed by the Congress. And I think it's a book that people really will learn a lot about the current situation. I mean, some Indian tribes are doing very well, and some because of casinos in the last 20 right. years. So he talks about how that evolved. And some are still incredibly poor.
It is Res Life by David Truer, and it is published by Grove Press.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So now we're going to go on to vegetables and food a little bit.
Get springy.
Yeah, it's springy.
You get nice weather, and we start thinking about such things. Thank goodness.
So the title and subtitle tell a lot about this book. It's called Paradise Lot, L-O-T, Two Plant Geeks, 1/10 of an Acre, and the Making of an Edible Garden Oasis in the City. And the city is Holyoke, Massachusetts.
There you go.
It's by Eric Tosenmeyer with contributions from Jonathan Bates. And if you look at the cover, you will see their yard. They end up buying a duplex in Holyoke, something like 10, 11 years ago. And there's nothing there. It's just, it doesn't have good soil. It doesn't have anything. And then you'll see 10, 11 years later, it is an incredible permaculture forest garden. So I didn't know much about what all that meant. And I'm not a plant geek, although I could become one after reading this. And if I had
see yourself in that role,
if I had time, I would really like to do something like this. But permaculture is this approach to agriculture that developed in Australia, and it's permanent agriculture. So what they did here is it's layered gardening. Basically, you have a ground cover, so you don't have to weed. And then you have sort of medium-sized plants, and then you have some fruit and nut trees. So once you get it right, and, you know, some are nitrogen fixing and some are help with any kind of pests because they attract birds or other insects that eat the bad bugs. And they have experimented with this over the years, and they have berries almost from spring to fall. They have 10 different kind of berries. They have a lot of different greens that you and I probably never heard of. Mm. And this has become their life. Jonathan has a nursery, and Eric writes and teaches about permaculture, which I'm learning, you know, there's a lot to learn about that. There's a permaculture garden at UMass that I would like to see. That's an award-winning garden. And in the meantime, because they were spending so much time on plants, they didn't have sweethearts, but once they started this garden, they both got sweethearts and got married. So
oh, good.
There's a story there. And I just found this fascinating. I don't think you have to be a gardener to really enjoy this book. And I'm looking forward to seeing their garden at some point. I mean, it's only a tenth of an acre, but it can provide because they know the science behind it all and they're experimenting with all kinds of plants. They can feed themselves quite well.
It is Paradise Lot, Two Plant Geeks, One Tenth of an Acre, and The Making of an Edible Garden Oasis in the City. And it is by Eric
Tosemeyer,
we'll go with contribution from Jonathan Bates. And it's published by Chelsea Green.
And the next book is by Chelsea Green. Chelsea Green is another one of my favorite independent presses. They're up in Vermont, and they do a lot of books on sustainability. The next one's by Judy Wicks, Good Morning, Beautiful Business. I think they like long titles, though. The Unexpected Journey of an Activist, Entrepreneur, and Local Economy Pioneer. And Judy Wicks will be with us next week. She's doing two events with us. The first one is on the 16th, and this is a fundraising event with Pioneer Valley Local First and Pioneer Valley Sustainability Network. And you can go to either one of our websites to find out details. It is a dinner and lightning talks and networking, etc. So this book, Judy is... was the owner and founder of White Dog Cafe in Philadelphia and was one of the first people in the country to really make an effort to locally source food for her restaurant, and also became a leader and founder of BALLE, which is Business Alliance for Local Living Economies, and has worked around the world, basically, because she's also gone to Chiapas to source coffee from fair trade cooperatives there. She has sister restaurants in El Salvador and Lithuania and also in other parts of Philadelphia. So she's an amazing woman. And this is her story, which she had no idea. She was an English major. She had no idea she was going to go into this. So I have found it really fascinating. We're part of BALLE and, trying to figure out these things of how do you build a local living economy? And her life has really been a roadmap for those of us that are interested in that. She's, gone to get hogs that are raised sustainably and all kinds of things. And at the same time, she has a lot of fun. She has all kinds of parties at her restaurant. She has now sold it, but, she had the Bastille Day party. She had New Year's Day in pajamas in the morning, your hungover party.
Oh, good.
Can come.
Good thinking.
But so it's really about building community, and she's done a great job with that. So if people can come out, the second event is April 17th, which is Wednesday, and that's at Mount Holyoke College. So there's information about both of those on our website.
OdysseyBKS.com, and it's Judy Wicks, and the book is Good Morning, Beautiful Business.
Do we have time for one more?
Sure do.
Okay. Vegetable Literacy by Deborah Madison, just out from 10 Speed Press.
Beautiful book.
It's a beautiful book. Have you seen it?
No.
I'm just looking at it.
Okay.
I will pass it on to you in just a moment. Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone, which came out many years ago, is still my favorite vegetarian cookbook. It's like the joy of cooking for vegetarians or for anyone who wants to cook vegetables. And in this book, what she's done is broken down the vegetables, not only vegetables, but edible flowers and seeds, by the botanical families. So as a cook, you can learn what you can put together because, for instance, one of my favorites here is the goosefoot and amaranth family, which includes edible weeds, leaves, and seeds, but it includes spinach and lamb's quarters, which I've never had, as well as quinoa, and I would never think of those as being from the same family. So she has over 200 recipes in here, and they all look fabulous. And she starts with these families. So, the first one's the carrot family and some of the herbs and plants that would go with that. And it goes on through mint and sunflower and the cucurbit family, which is squashes and melons and gourds, and all the way through grains and peas and beans. And I've only spent a little bit of time with this. I haven't had time to cook out of it, but it is an amazing, amazing book. And I think that... some of the things that were talked about in Eric Tosenmeyer's book also relate in here. So I'm starting to learn a lot more about edible plants and such.
It's a beautiful, again, just a beautiful like coffee table type book. It's Vegetable Literacy by Deborah Madison, and it's published by 10 Speed Press. Anything else exciting you want to tell us about in the 30 seconds?
Well,
we have left?
I was going to talk about Ruth Ezeki's book, but everybody seems to know about that and has talked about that. I think that's one of my favorite novels of the season, and
yeah.
We had her, and we have signed copies of that. And a new book that's coming out, not for another 6 or 8 weeks, but one that I want to give you a heads up on, is called We Need No New Names by No Violet Bulamayo, who's from Zimbabwe, a young woman who's now a Stegner fellow in this country. It's an amazing, amazing first novel about the unraveling in Zimbabwe through the eyes of a 10-year-old. I was going to talk about that, but it's not out for 2 months. But
which means you have to come back sooner. It can't be a year.
Well, I don't know what happened. I maybe I'm not on the good list anymore.
No, you're on the good list. You're always on. Trust me, you're always on the good list. For more information on the Odyssey Bookstore in South Hadley, Massachusetts, you can visit them at 9 College Street in South Hadley or call them 413-534-7307. Joan, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.